All righty, we can open up to Revelation 4 to start things off this tonight. It's not where the sermon started, but it's where the sermon started. So, if you can figure out how that goes, but anyway. Revelation 4. Let's start off with a word of prayer here tonight. Now, Father, we are glad to come back Sunday night. We've had a good morning already, a good day. We know we're missing a few of our folk a little under the weather, and we just pray you'll be with all those folks and others traveling. We pray you'd be with them, get them back safely. And Lord, we come to you, ask that you might give us just something to chew on here tonight that will be a help to us. We sometimes, in the fog of war, just the life that we live in this world, we sometimes lose perspective a little bit on what we're supposed to be doing. And it's just easy, Lord, to get distracted. It's sad that we are so easily distracted. But I pray you might give us some light in that here tonight. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Revelation chapter 4 to begin things off. And this is the sight that greets John as he's told to come up hither, as you can see in verse 1. It typifies our rapture, where, because you don't find the church after this rapture. So it typifies the rapture. Doctrinally, it's not that. But this, you can view John as the body of Christ, his first view of heaven. And after this, I looked and beheld in verse 1, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice that I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. That's the words we're waiting for, with your name on front. Amen? And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. That's not talking about in the charismatic spirit, by the way. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were 7 lamps, a fire burning before the throne, which were the 7 spirits of God. Okay, there you have advanced and new revelation from the Bible. You learn suddenly that 7 spirits of God. Apparently, the Holy Spirit has 7 divisions. Verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings. Here's where I really want you to hunker down. 4 beasts each had 6 wings, okay? These are seraphim. They have 6 wings. Cherubim have 4 wings. And you'll find seraphim again in Isaiah 6, verse 2. But the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not, it says, day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders, just introduced to us, fall down before him and sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I'm just trying to get you to see here that John shows up, and the first thing to greet him were these seraphim saying in verse 8, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, at which juncture the 24 elders fall down before him, and they cast their crowns. In verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And this just apparently goes on and on. John is thus introduced to heaven. And in verse 5, chapter 5, something develops, apparently a little crisis, and it's just strange that that the crisis waited till John arrived. I'm not sure what that's all about exactly. But I saw on the right hand of him and that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And turns out that no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. So there's this crisis. And everybody's crying and weeping because nobody can find a man worthy. And then it says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb," capital L, Lamb, plainly Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if this is playing out for the first time in heaven, you know, since John gets there, a type of the church, if this now plays out or exactly what it is. I'm not sure if Christ in some way has been veiled from them being able to acknowledge him as the capital L. I'm not sure why it waited to this point to say it, but what I'm interested in is what follows. I'm not trying to cause controversy here. It goes on, "And when he had taken the book, the four," in verse 8, "the four beasts and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us," the 24 elders, "by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." So those elders aren't Jews. They're out of every nation. And I'm not prepared to go into all that, really. I don't know that I'm able anyway. But all I'm just trying to get you to see is these seraphim and then these 24 elders, which have been redeemed from among men. And by the way, in verse 10, "has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." So that can go back to chapter 1, verse 6. But with that, they once again break into this, well, singing, but praising of God. They praised God back starting in verse 8 of chapter 4, and all the way down through verse 11, "Worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord," and so on and so forth. In verse 11, "And behold," chapter 5, verse 11, "I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. That's some choir, and thousands of thousands, apparently all of them having perfect voices. That would be a choir worth hearing. Verse 12, "sang with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." You hear that sung at the end of Handel's Messiah. "And every creature which was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all of them and that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." So far, John is greeted by two periods of folks singing praise, or at least saying praise to God in heaven. These are seraphim, heavenly creatures. These are perfected men. The 24 elders are redeemed from among men, and they're singing praise in heaven to God. Now, I would add just one more thing to it, and then we'll get to the sermon. Look in Revelation chapter 19. Apparently, in heaven, one of the things that may sound boring to some Christians, I'm not quite sure. One of the things that seems to be a routine part of the atmosphere there is that men spend their time, men, just men made perfect, and apparently all the heavenly choirs as well as the heavenly creatures spend their time praising God day and night. Now in Revelation 19, Jesus Christ is going to come back here in a second. And the Lord has just given you details in 17 and 18 chapters, both chapters, about the destruction of the great whore of Babylon. And among the things that what it starts off with right away, with the fall of the great whore, chapter 19, verse 1, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." I don't know if they're singing it. I don't know if they're just saying it. Verse 2, "For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of the servants at her hand." I mean, it's a bloody, burning mess when the Lord destroys the great whore. And yet, here's everybody going, glory to God. I mean, in heaven, it's a grand thing when it happens. Apparently, anything God does in heaven is something to be praised. You go on down to verse 3, and again they said, "Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever." A praise of something worthy of great praise, apparently. Like I said, anything the Lord does to the folks in heaven is great. And it's a reason to break into singing and shouting and all those things. The praise is pretty high. Verse 4, "And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude." There they are again, "as the voice of many waters." Sounds like Niagara Falls. "And as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready." And then we go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. All right, I just trying to point out here to you that heaven is going to be a place of great praise. Apparently, it's perfected praise. You have choirs of 10,000s singing. You have 24 elders, some folks redeemed from among men praising God. You have 4 seraphim praising God. Apparently, we're looking here at perfected praise. Whether they're singing or speaking, I'm not quite sure, or just shouting, I don't know. So there you have a perfected form of praise in heaven. Apparently, heaven's going to be a pretty noisy place. Okay? Now, from that, we leave the scenes of heaven and we go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27. And you go to a place now of imperfect praise. Apparently, one of the things that we are going through here as born-again children of God is that the Lord is readying us to be just men made perfect in heaven one day, where we will sing with, you know, perfect voices and without distraction by a bunch of other nonsense. And so that's going to be perfected praise laid down upon the Lord in worship and perhaps song by perfected beings. Now, you're not perfected beings yet. And so we move from the choir back to the mire. Proverbs 27 and verse 21. And you wonder sometimes why the Lord allows some things that he allows, and we'll see later. One of the, you know, why the Lord would allow to be engineered, we consider it against us. Why he would allow it, and in fact, we're going to learn that sometimes the Lord actually engineers things that we would consider against us. Why does he make it so hard? Well, you've just been to heaven. You've just heard them praise God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor, power, glory, and blessing, etc., etc. It just goes on and on day and night. Seraphim just do it. Just go on and on day and night. Well, in chapter 27, verse 21, it says, "As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise." Now, Proverbs 17 and verse 3. "The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." Now, you can go back to Proverbs 27 here and we'll settle in there. Just remember, you've been to heaven now. You've heard it, at least you've read it. What the Lord, where the Lord's trying to get us to. The seraphims don't have to worry about being perfected. I don't know how many angels in heaven are in the choir right now, but one day it'll be 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, right? And then there are those 24 elders. One day the body of Christ shows up there. And apparently in that day, you will enjoy a place where everything's perfect, including praise. As for now, we kind of, you know, slog our way through life. And when the car breaks down, the hot water heater blows up, and the toilet blows up all on the same morning, we, if we're really spiritual, say, well, praise the Lord. Like that. Others say other things. So you've gone from the choir down to the mire where we all still live. And I want you to see something here because it's really easy to lose track of. You know, sometimes you run across a verse and you're just reminded that God really does not think like you think. Just once in a while, it's just really apparent that the Lord's doing stuff that you wouldn't do it that way. You don't appreciate the way He does it. And His ways are higher than our ways. And you know He's smarter than you, but you just really wish He'd do something different. Well, verse 21 of chapter 27, it says, as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Now, that's how the Lord teaches. It's called a similitude, where He says, a man is like this. And so He says, the finding pot is for silver. So the finding pot, you know, is used to refine and purify silver. And the furnace for gold, a furnace is used to purify and refine gold. The gold is supposed to go through, the silver is supposed to go through the heat and the fire. And it improves its purification as things go by. So the ideal is to get the purest possible precious metal. The Lord's purpose one day is to get us to heaven, put us in perfect bodies with perfect minds and perfect voices and perfect hearts, and then let us praise Him. In the meantime, you're stuck down here. It means that it is real easy for you to lose track of what life is all about. Now, I know that life is Jesus Christ. I know that life is the Word of God. But beyond that, there's a little bit of something else I'd like to preach to you here. We are beset by cares, troubles, you know, trials, all kinds of things that come our way. And we say, why, oh, why does the Lord allow this? Why does the Lord let the devil do it? Why does the Lord not protect us more from the world? Why does the Lord indeed engineer some things once in a while that comes against us? And so I want to preach a message on revisiting the finding pot tonight, here in verse 21. As the finding pot for silver, the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. I'll begin with, we need to take a fresh look at praise. All right? Silver comes from the pot and gold comes from the furnace. And the more you send it through, the more it's purified. And so, according to the verse, it's praise that comes from man. The finding pot is for silver, the furnace for gold. That's what it's for, that's its purpose. What's man's purpose? Well, man's purpose is to, you know, be the best that he can be and all this kind of stuff. No, it's not. No, it's not. Brother Gipp wrote a book called For His Pleasure, and it talks about how the reason you are, the reason He allowed you to be a new creature in Christ is so that you could live for His pleasure. If I'm reading this right, the Lord's pleasure is fully realized one day when you get to heaven. And again, you're perfectly redeemed then. You have a perfect body, a perfect voice, and you can praise Him perfectly. As the finding pot for silver, the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Let me show you a verse. Look, keep your finger in Proverbs 27, Psalms chapter 50. You know, among the things that I'll just out and out say it, that a Christian is to be about doing, one of the things that you have to say that ought to be a primary goal, something that a Christian is primarily conscious of in his life, is this thing. And we get so buried in the minutiae of life and all the cares and concerns that we, frankly, most times almost lose it. In Psalm 50, verse 23, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." That's the Lord speaking. "And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. By the time those folks get to heaven, just men made perfect, the 10,000 upon 10,000 and thousands of angels and heavenly beings, the seraphim, the praise is pretty good. The praise is pretty perfect. So what's the Lord trying to do in your life? He's trying to perfect praise while you're down here. It says, as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, the furnace is for the purpose of the gold. It purifies the gold. So is a man to his praise. I looked it up just to give you a round numbers. Back in 1999, gold was selling, 24 karat gold was selling for $290 an ounce. In 2014, gold was selling for $1,287 an ounce. Yesterday, gold was selling for $1,988 per ounce. The value of gold rises as time progresses, generally speaking. You know, it's supposed to be a very secure investment because it always holds its value. And it can be used for money, plainly, in the day when the money market crashes. But it has steadily increased as time has progressed. Well, as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. It should strike you at this point that one of God's purposes in your life is to bring forth praise. It's to have you praise Him. Now, you say, well, that's weird. No, it's not. Every moron sinner in the world wants all the praise he can get. You know what we have? We have a God complex. That was Satan's problem. He wanted to be God, right? And now that you have, you know, after Eve and Adam fell for his line, then what has been happening through all these generations of mankind through the last 6,000 years has been a bunch of little gods, have been fallen gods, have been born, and they all would like to accumulate as much praise as possible. Thus, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, a bunch of spoiled, diapered professional athletes that every time they don't get their way, they pitch a stinking fit and act like they're being persecuted and enslaved. No, they're being paid $20, $30, and $40 million a year to play games. But the reason that they want that, and frankly, you know, people now are monetized on YouTube by putting out their videos, and the more popular their video is, the more likely are they are to be able to make money. What is that all about? Do you like my video? I get so fed up with buying stuff online, and then as soon as I bought it and receive it, they send me an email saying, "How did we do? Can you give us a thumbs up? Hey, stupid, I just bought something from you. Just leave me alone now. Are you so insecure that you have to, oh, how did we do? Did we serve you well?" Shut up. Just shut up. Everybody wants the praise. And what is indeed the Lord's goal is that you go through life and that your praise is purified towards Him. And then one day you wind up in heaven and your praise is perfected. But his goal for you here is that as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. That praise is valuable. If it is gold, it's $1,988 an ounce yesterday. And actually the price of silver is $22.62 an ounce yesterday. And those prices have steadily risen. As the perilous times and the last days and the dark days are upon us, if that holds true, then the lesson would seem to be that our praise of God means more to Him as time progresses. Okay? And so, you need to think about that. Well, I thought, Brother Stevens, that life was about winning souls to Christ, and that's part of it. I get it. But something that's not acknowledged much is maybe really what the Lord is centered on is that you praise Him and that He gets praise from your life, your mouth, your heart, and your mind. And that the things that you go through, I mean, the fining pot is for silver. I mean, there's a fire built in the fining pot. And the furnace is for gold, and there's a fire built for the furnace, so the gold can be purified, so is a man to his praise. If that verse holds true, then what you ought to look at praise as is the prime product that God looks for in your life. All right? And so the things that you go through, having to fight through, the fog of war and all of the minutiae of life, what that's really all about is the Lord firing you to firing your furnace to perfect praise. The Lord is not centered then on numbers. The Lord is not then centered on material possessions. It may be if these verses hold true and what we saw in heaven in Revelation is true, then it may just well be that as much as anything, what the Lord is really focused on is praise. We talked a while about the judgment seat of Christ this morning in Sunday school and saying, that apparently it's not about, the issue is of what sort it is, and the issue is not about numerical things and material things. It's about something more, esoteric or whatever. What if it's praise? What if really what the Lord is out for, if what the Lord enjoys one day, surrounded by perfect beings, both redeemed from among men and those that have never fallen, it's an atmosphere of continuing, undying, endless, loud, exuberant praise. What if He's trying to get as much of that out of us here as He can get before we get to heaven? And then when we get to heaven, of course, we'll be perfect. And it won't cost us a thing. But now, praising God might cost you something. It's just hard. It's hard to put aside all the other cares and concerns. After all, you have health problems and your back hurts. And, the car is busted again. And, I just had to, drive to North Dakota on ice. And then all the way home on ice, too. It was hard. So when it was over, well, praise the Lord, I made it. Is that what He's looking for? That perfect exuberance? The adoration, is that what He's looking for? Look at, if you will, keep your fingers in Proverbs here, but let me run you. You know the verse, Hebrews chapter 13, and just notice something here. Hebrews 13, and in verse 15, a verse we've covered a jillion and a half times. By Him, by Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You could center your Christian life around that verse and do pretty good. I'm not saying, you know, disregard soul winning and disregard separation and disregard everything. I'm saying that though if you made that a foundation of how you lived your Christian life, you could do worse. I've shown you where it winds up one day in heaven, right? And I've shown you the finding pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. What if God's focus is, I'm not saying 100%, but what if God's focus is very much on the kind of praise that He gets from the life of a redeemed sinner? Now let me show you another verse just real quick in Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, and just let me sling this at you. Verse 12. I should start from verse 11. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. I will sing praise. So maybe they're singing in heaven, maybe they're just shouting in heaven, I'm not sure, but I have a verse here that says that praise is supposed to be sung. And so I'm just saying that I'm glad we've spent and invested the amount of effort through the years here to make the song service secondary only to preaching. And that we've been kind of particular and kind of picky about how the song service is run. And, you know, you just don't let any instrument up here. And if somebody can't sing a lick, we try to find them somebody that will help them out. You know, kind of bury them in a quartet or something. Do you see what I'm saying, though? I mean, it says here, you know, if the Lord is after praise, then sounds to me like that He gets praise when Jesus Christ is glorified and preaching and all that kind of stuff. Somebody gets saved, praise the Lord. Seems to me that you're given an opportunity here, coming as often as you come, to sing with the best we can do for music and with our voices, our fallen voices. Seems to me that it's giving you a prime opportunity to sing praise. And I'm saying that that might cost you something the day that you have a migraine or the day you've received some bad news and you're still supposed to come in here and sing enthusiastically unto your God and your feelings are hurt because He let this happen in your life and still you're supposed to sing praise to God who reigns above with enthusiasm because it's a little bit of a sacrifice. But what if that's something that God focuses on? I think I'm giving you some background on why that might be what God focuses on. Let me take you back to Proverbs 27, and we have looked at praise again. Let me take you to something else to look at in the verse. Proverbs 27, 21, as the finding pot for silver, and that's what the finding pot's made for, purifying silver, and the furnace for gold, that's what the furnace is built for, purifying gold. So is a man to his praise. That's what a man is built for. Praise. A finding pot has no other purpose. I suppose you could make tea in it, in a pinch. But the purpose of the finding pot is the silver. And the purpose of the furnace is gold. Haven't you just been told here in the verse what the purpose of man is? I'm not saying it's the only thing. I'm not saying it's, you know, the absolute only thing. I'm saying you've been told what the purpose of man is. To praise God. Instead, it's prostituted at all turns. And we brag up some goofball NBA star with 37 concubines and 88 kids to his credit, all without a father, that'll stick around in their life. He's paid $12 or $14 or $16 million a year to play a child's game. It's not even challenging. He's this tall and the basket is this tall. Whoopee, he made a basket. You know, he could have done it with his elbows. You see what I'm saying? We brag up stuff that doesn't deserve any bragging. Everybody's caught up, and I've watched some of it. You know, the March Madness, the NCAA basketball, it's coming on the Final Four and all that kind of big dance and all that stuff. And all these tall, gangly guys are out playing basketball, and one day one of them soon will win the title. Wow, Kansas was the champion last year. Yeah. Boy, that's something. Some of you didn't even know that. May have been important to him, but it wasn't even important to you. Say, what's the point? Man is a praise machine. And if he doesn't have anything worth praising, he'll find something. He will find the most perverted, nonsensical, wicked, vile mess in the world and start heaping praise on it. Because that's the way we're built. We want it from the world, and then we'll give it to some really unworthy things. Meanwhile, I show you a better way. Because I showed you God in heaven who is being praised by perfect eternal beings. And it's pretty much, as far as I can tell, it's perfect praise. There are no complaints. And apparently what life is about for us, apparently the reason we're built, the reason we're made, is the finding pot for silver, the furnace for gold, but so is a man to his praise. Apparently what the Lord wants from you is praise, as pure and as perfect as he can get it while we're down here. So another look at man. A saved man is a child of God, a son of God. He's a soldier, he's a servant, he's a steward. He's an ambassador, he is supposed to be a friend, and actually he is also the bride of Christ if he's saved. But according to Proverbs 27:21, it's something that also, that all too often passes our notice. As a finding pot for silver and a furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. A man is a praise cooker. Think of yourself as a crock pot. And Lord lets you live about, 75 or 80, 85 years on slow cook. It just gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And the Lord is saying, what kind of praise he can get from you? How about that? Again, the society idols, the American Idol, the stars, that man is twisted in that he knows that what he should be doing is bragging on somebody or something. And so he brags on the most wretched stuff in this life. I can't imagine any longer watching the Grammys or the Emmys or the Oscars. I mean, you talk about a bunch of dirty dogs, piling the praise on a bunch of other dirtier dogs. What a bunch of nonsense. When you have a God to worship, when you have a God that sent his only begotten Son to die for your sins on a cross. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, the things that you go through is not all about God chastening his child. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. There's no question about that. But sometimes what you're going through is not you getting a whooping. Sometimes what you go through, I know that at times, where he's trying to purify some things and, you're hiding stuff. You have secret sins, and so the Lord's dealing with you about those things so that you'll get things right. But it's not about that every time. I tell you what it is about every time is him perfecting praise. It may be chastening. It may be him trying to shine the light in your darkness and get you to see that you're doing wrong with this secret sin thing, but it is always about perfecting your praise. What kind of praise is cooking for you? If what I'm reading here is right, every single man, especially every single child of God, he's an appliance. He's a praise cooker. You've heard of a rice cooker? You have a coffee pot? You're a praise cooker. And what he's doing in your life is to have you cook off the purest praise possible. Let me take you back. I won't be much longer. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, the other text. Now, Proverbs 27 said, the fining pot is for silver, the furnace for gold. So is a man to his praise. This verse changes things a little. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. So that's got to make you take another look at trials. Did you know that trials is not just one of the things that the Lord allows? It's also one of the things that God does. And we don't like to hear that. We would like to think that all of our trials are cooked up by the world or the devil. And if we're really spiritual, by ourselves. But we don't like to think about the Lord designing something to try us, because that just seems mean. But verse 3 says, the fining pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth. He is the active agent. The Lord trieth the hearts. That answers why sometimes the Lord lets the devil do what he does. And why sometimes the Lord lets the IRS loose on you, the world. Because he's cooking praise. He's going to see what comes forth. The Lord does a lot of things. He feeds the birds. He keeps count of all when the wild goats of the rocks bring forth. He upholdeth all things by the word of his power. Keeps the stars dancing there. Little dance up there in heaven, all through the universe and all those things. One of the things that he also does is that he tries the hearts. Now, a verse you know and have quoted 6 billion times, well, maybe a few less than that, but 1 Peter chapter 1, keep your finger in Proverbs. 1 Peter chapter 1, and notice verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Did you see that? That the trial of your faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What does the Lord want from you at the appearing of Jesus Christ? Praise, honor, and glory. You know what I bet tomorrow what the Lord wants from you is praise, honor, and glory as best as can be managed with what he's cooked off in you. But a man is a praise cooker. Let me take you to 17:3 again. I'm just about done. The fining pot is for silver. The furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth, okay, the heart. You need to rethink praise. It's likened to the gold. You need to rethink man. You need to rethink the trial. And while we're at it, let's just rethink the heart too. At the end of the verse, it says, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Okay? It doesn't say, and don't get me wrong, I know doctrine. It doesn't say the Lord trieth the tongue. It doesn't say the Lord trieth the mouth. And it doesn't say the Lord trieth the deeds. Don't misunderstand. I know that God judges the mouth, the deeds, and the tongue. I get all that. Okay? But it says, the verse says, the fining pot is for silver, the furnace is for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. And the other verse said, that so is a man to his praise. Okay? If you will, you know, we were here this morning in Sunday school. Or no, we were here this morning in church. 1 Peter 2. It's funny how you can go through a verse all day, preach something out of it, and come back to it and say, huh, I didn't even touch that. That's just weird. I don't know if there's any other book like it. 1 Peter chapter 2, and notice how this goes. Now, a finding pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. A man God designed to be a praise cooker. One day you wind up in heaven with all the other souls of just men made perfect. All the seraphims and all the cherubims and all the 10,000 times 10,000 plus thousands and thousands of angels. And I think the praise is going to be perfect. It is going to be some kind of atmosphere. Once in a while it comes down here and touches us when we have a great song service and a great preaching service, right? We've all enjoyed that. We're culturing. We're doing the best we can to keep that cultured among us, okay? And what the Lord wants is on Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday, when you're not around the rest of the Christians and you're going through a tough time, He's watching to see what kind of praise is cooking. And it'll cook, because that's this the trial is the fire under the gold and under the silver, under the pot and under the furnace. And the trial is the fire under the sinner, the saint, who is cooking praise. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says this. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, you can quote it. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Okay, that's what we kind of focus on, because, oh, that's what we are. Yeah, that's me. Yay. Okay, but verse 9. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. His purpose for you is, yes, to be a chosen generation, yes, to be a royal priesthood, yes, to be a holy nation, yes, from this morning's service, yes, to be peculiar. He called you to it, but there's a purpose for it, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The purpose is it, could it be plainer? The purpose is praise. Because as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. What kind of praise is cooking? Lord is happy to say, look, appreciate the praying, and I appreciate your repenting, and I appreciate you admitting you were wrong. I sure appreciate what you said. But what do you think about what you're going through, what I'm allowing you to go through? What are you thinking about, he says, what I've engineered for you to go through? What do you think about the fire I've built under your pot? Tell me. And you know, you don't have to tell him, because he knows anyway, right? The man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And I had one other thing, I guess, to point out here. This is kind of a side, not a side note really, but back to Proverbs 27. So we looked at praise, we looked at man, we looked at the trial. We reviewed the heart. In Proverbs 27, for the umpteenth time tonight, verse 21, as the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. That's pretty much giving you, I believe, the Lord's agenda for your life. One day you go to heaven and everything is perfect around you. You're perfect. And you can praise God perfectly. But the issue is not then. The issue for here is now. Now, that's what a man's for. But go to the next verse, because you need to see a tragedy. And verse 22 is a tragedy. If these are any way connected as statements, then what does it say that as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise? I built you a fining pot, and I'm going to light a fire under you, and you're going to go through some things, and we're going to see how your praise gets purified over about 40 or 50 years of your Christian life. And if it's connected, though thou shouldst bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Now, maybe you don't know those parts. A mortar is like a stone with a concave surface. It's like a shallow bowl. And you pour wheat in it, and you take a pestle, which is just basically a stone stick where it has a rounded edge, and you pour the wheat in the mortar, and you take the pestle, which has a round grinder end on it, and you grind the wheat or the flour down. That's called braying it. And that would separate any other chaff from wheat and so on and so forth. It would purify it itself. It said that while the Lord's purpose for you is the fining pot being for silver, the furnace for gold, so is he working in your life to bring forth praise. But, and I know there's not a but there, if the verses are connected, though thou shouldst bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from it. The most foolish thing you can do in this life is not get on ground where you praise God. And there are some folks that you could take and put in a mortar and crush their guts out, and they still wouldn't praise God. There are some mighty stubborn, wicked people in this world. There are some mighty stubborn, wicked Christians in this world. You don't want to be, you don't want your lot to be among the fools who the Lord works on them for a Christian lifetime, and they never yield up any praise. They never yield up any wheat. They're just crushed and ground just to pieces. You know people probably that go through that. And it's like, don't you see? Don't you get it? And apparently they don't. So don't be that fool. And just know that as the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. What the Lord is looking to you for is praise. Because you were created in Christ Jesus a praise cooker. And that's what's supposed to come forth. All right? And one day we get to heaven and it doesn't even take any effort. It just comes out of us. But until then, it's a sacrifice. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for just letting us see this. I pray that you'd